All right, folks, welcome. This is episode 15 of the Off Center Archers. I'm your host, Anthony.
And this is Stephanie.
And we're going to talk about what went on this weekend. I finally got a chance to take the EZV site to the range with me. And also, I actually met a guy who does national tournaments and local tournaments for indoor shooting. Mm-hmm. So, which was actually a cool thing to talk to him about his stuff.
And Happy New Year. That was also another big thing, I guess, happened this weekend.
Yes, Happy New Year to everybody. Mm-hmm. Hopefully everyone had nice holidays and everything. All right, so to start, let's see. With the site. Yes, I was getting to that.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. You're so slow sometimes.
Yeah, well, it happens. Like I said, I was able to take the EZV site to it. And right off the bat, I noticed a lot of the stuff that the guys on... who already have the site were saying takes a little bit of getting used to as your point of view through the site because you're used to seeing pins and whatnot. Whereas this thing has the V in the middle. So you're technically looking through three holes. And probably took me about 15 minutes or so to get used to the actual viewpoint looking through it. But I'm impressed. I mean, really.
I still don't understand why you think you're looking through three holes. You're really only looking at the size of the V. You're not really looking at the outside of it.
Well, you have to have your perspective on where the shoulder is and where the body is, or like after the ribs would be on either side of the V. So you're trying to center the V with everything.
Yeah, that's why you look through the center of it, though. I guess I don't really understand because I'm not shooting with it.
Right. But no, I mean, even, like I said, after about... two rounds with it, I was fine, you know, and got it adjusted to where it needed to be. I got it to where it was sighted in on the black line for the divider between the lungs and the heart. Once I had that all done, it was like dead on. I mean, 20 yards, it was just throwing arrows in the same spot. And I moved it back to 30 because that's pretty much the limit we have at our indoor range. And it was hitting the same spot.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I think it was still too low.
Well, I really didn't play with it much. I mean, we were only there for an hour because the store also closed early today. Out. Or yesterday, I should say, because we went on Saturday.
I think, because you might have to change inserts, too.
It's possible, yeah. It's possible. But, I mean, the 20 mark, when I was aiming at the dots, it hit in the same exact spot every time. Yeah. Which is why I was like, okay, it's hitting the line for, you know, between the heart and the lungs, and I was fine with that. Because I knew we were going to run out of time. And when I moved it to 30, it was hitting the same spot.
So the sight is still accurate.
Oh, yeah. The sight was definitely accurate. You know, so at 30, it was slightly lower than the 20. The 20 was, like, right on the black line, whereas the 30 was, like, a quarter of an inch below it. Which is really not much. Maybe I moved a little bit or something. But they were definitely grouping with each other.
Yeah, so, well, you have to use it a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take it again.
Yeah, plus you're starting to mess with your arrows, too.
Well, yeah, that was giving me problems towards the end. I didn't understand why it was wanting to stay shut. It never does that. So, maybe it's just a cable adjustment. I have to adjust it. Maybe the cable stretched. Mm-hmm. Plus, I want to get one of those new limb anchors that they have for the limb-driven dropaways. This way, it's like a constant anchoring point for them, not where they just, you know, you put one of those stick down.
Oh, those little sticky pads.
Right, yeah, you put the stick down strip and the cord is supposed to stay in the groove and they move and whatever.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm thinking about switching it from the top limb to being driven by the bottom limb to see if there's any difference really in how it reacts between the two.
Well, what does it say to actually supposed, like, what is their directive when you get the actual rest, where to actually hook it up?
From
what? Where is it?
From G5, I think it says the top.
Okay. The G5 says the top. I mean, usually if it says one way and you go another, then it won't work properly.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I want to see though. Been on it since the day I got it.
Yeah, but that hasn't. I mean, the months.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, what, 3 months, 3.5 months it's been on the bow.
Yeah, so, about. I mean, you would kind of hope that an arrowhead is going to have more...
Well, I don't think it's the rest itself. I think it's the cord.
Yeah, but that's all part of the setup.
Right.
So, if you were buying something, that is only going to last. I mean, there's no point in buying something if it's not going to last more than a couple months.
Right.
Everything within that product of what you're buying should last more than a couple months.
Yeah.
Because even if you think about it, like if you think of the hunting season, you want to be practicing with everything in your bow before you go out. Mm-hmm. And then hunting season, let's say you get 2 solid months of hunting in. Let's just say, example. You don't want to buy a sight just to last through the hunting season. I mean, not a sight, an arrow rest or whatever you're using just to last for that season, then and have to replace it. I mean, then you're kind of wasting your money.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. And of course, you want everything you buy to last. I mean,
yeah.
But it's also a threaded cord. Gonna stretch. It's not, you know, it's a super thin piece of paracord.
Well, then it should be better manufactured.
That's why most people don't use cords anymore.
True.
Everybody's going to cables.
Well, this Dead G5 was how old? It was made how long ago?
I bought it brand new in the package.
No, but when they designed it, when it was considered new. Do you know?
No. I think I remember what was on the package the day I got it. No.
I'm just wondering. You remember these things.
No, that type of shit I don't care about.
Oh, my gosh.
I know when it was designed, you know, like, I think the design was released probably, I think, in 14 or 15.
Okay.
But I don't know the actual manufacture date of my specific arrow rest type.
No, I'm just saying when they designed it, like, hey, look, we have a new item.
I think it was in late 14.
I'm not looking for the specific for yours. I'm just saying. In general, of when they said, oh, hey, here's the newest model of this style that we're coming out with.
Oh, yeah. Well, none of the arrows that were on the market as of, like, last year, really, had a mount for the limb, limb drives. Everybody had the stick-down pieces, and you did your knots and whatever, and, you know, you ran it right to your arrow rest. Now they make an actual anchor point on the limb.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a little upgrades you could do at each time to make everything more consistent. But also now, like I said, everybody's going to cable driven, where they're not using string anymore. They're actually using thin steel cables.
Okay.
So.
Makes more sense.
Yeah.
Well, it's last longer at least.
Yeah, yeah, it will last longer. But yeah, I mean, as for the sight, in my opinion, it's a really, really good sight for what it does. I mean, if you could gauge the shoulder to the ribs on the animal, as long as your foot per second is correct for the actual insert you have in it, it works just like it's described.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the hardest part for a lot of people, is figuring out which insert. Whereas you have a sight with pins, you start with your first pin.
Right.
You sight it in, and then you kind of go from there.
Right. Yeah, but then you also need the range finder to make sure you're using the correct pin. Whereas this thing is supposed to be able to, you just lift it up.
No, I understand that, but no, my point that I'm saying is that's going to be the hardest part for people.
Yes.
Is actually figuring if they're actually using the correct insert.
Right, yes.
And I think that's going to be, that might in comparison be harder for someone starting out. Mm-hmm. To figure out in comparison to using pins and then just buying a rangefinder and being out there and figuring what the range is.
Well, right now, we're like I said before, we're limited to 30 yards with the indoor range we go to.
Right. We don't have any other.
Realistically, right now, I could say for a fact that this one, the way it was already set up, me shooting my carbon arrows and not my FMJs, because that's what I did the equation for to get the correct insert for the bow.
Mm-hmm.
20 and 30 yards were on the money. You know, if it wasn't January and 20 degrees outside or something, and where we live here in the valley, I mean, it is windy all the time.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, you know, sure, let's go get one of the range finders, go set a target up with that printout on it at 40 yards and 50 yards and see if it worked. But right now we are limited to 30 yards, and for 20 and 30 yards, it was on the money. You know, I can probably set it up where just because the 30 was a little bit lower, maybe switch it from the 280 insert to the 275 insert, which would make me lift the bow up slightly more, and it would probably be right on.
Yeah, because you were kind of a little bit low. Not a lot, but I mean.
Yeah, but it wasn't even, the arrows weren't even with the dots. And I, you know, like I said, we weren't going to have enough time for me to center this thing.
Yeah, I know. We were kind of
so
kicked out.
Once I got it to where it was like, okay, yeah, it's not dead center, but I was hitting that black line between the heart and the lung. I was like, all right, that's a good spot.
Right.
Let me just leave it where it is, and then we're going to go to 30 and see if it hits the same spot.
Right.
And it was, you know, a quarter of an inch low. So maybe me, like I said, maybe if I go from the 285 insert to the 275 insert, which would raise that make me raise up slightly more. I mean, it would probably just nail the black line. So, you know, I mean, it's for what it is. I mean, if in my opinion, it would be an awesome sight for a person who's only able to go out for like the day. Like if you're going to go out there and just pretty much hike through with your bow on your back for the day, and at the end of the day, you're back out of the woods going home, this sight would be awesome for that because it's minimalistic. You're not supposed to need a rangefinder. So, I mean, you'd literally be able to go in there with, like, your backpack with water, your bow, and this sight on your bow. You wouldn't need anything else. Whereas if you're going to go, you know, if you're planning on being in the woods for 7 days straight and you set up a camping site and all that stuff, and you're going that far, then yeah, sure, you know, go with, you know, more expensive site or something. Even in this case, I mean, if you're going to go camping, this thing would work just fine. But it kind of eliminates the need for so much more stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the theory's there, but, you know, that guy that we were talking to at the range also made a good point.
What's that?
About that huge area of green that's on the site. In low light and...
Well, he said it would work it would work good in low light.
I mean, but the point that he was making is what I'm trying to...
Yeah. He's right. I mean, the lighting situation for what it was inside the range was extremely super bright, and it was actually so damn bright that the sight was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Yeah, that's my...
The green was glowing so damn strong that... You know, it would take me an extra second to focus my eyes through the sight to the target because our target range is extremely lit.
You think if they made that part thinner, it would work better?
So much thinner. I think it doesn't need to be as bright of a green.
Well, is it like when you get past a certain color, though? Like, not color, but a certain brightness level, it really doesn't do anything. So don't you have to stay at a certain, I don't want to say like tone or hue, but...
No, it also depends on the person. Like, you know, when we got the Trophy Peak site came in, the Trophy Ridge Peak site, it came with an LED light that was adjustable. So I could adjust it to whatever I wanted it to be. I mean, it had a 0 to 10 gauge, and we just turned a little dial on top and it got brighter, dimmer, whatever.
Right.
You know, granted, this thing, you can't put lights on, nothing. So it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it was adjustable.
Well, I think the thing that realistically, if there was one thing I would say that could possibly improve it, would be that it's not such a solid green if it was more translucent. You know, if it was more of a green, clear, you know, plastic.
Yeah.
That you could see through, that it wasn't so, like, insanely vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be the only thing I would say to change. I mean, the functionality of it works just fine, the way it was designed. I mean, it works for what it is. It really doesn't need anything to be changed on it. But the only thing was that the guy was right. When it's really, really bright out, it's going to mess with you. Which I'm not, you know, he's right. I mean, it is super bright in our range.
Yeah.
So it would take me an extra second to focus my eyes to be able to shoot it.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think you have to actually go out and see in reality what it does. But I personally think if it's thinner, it wouldn't be as bad. Like, if it was just a thin V.
Yeah, they can thin it out, that's for sure.
It doesn't have to be as thick.
Mm-hmm.
Because you only need the border of the V to really line things up. I don't think you need it as over-dramatic. That's just for my first point of view of it. Like, what I think of it, just first seeing it.
No, I know. I'm just trying to think because.
Well, I mean, if you look at a picture, hold on, I'll bring up a picture of it so you can see what I'm talking about. Hold on, let me.
I shot it.
I know, but like, so you can see as I'm describing it how those inside lines, like, they don't need to be as thick. It could
that's
be.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I'm saying yes, they can be thinner. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that the guys who have it were talking about was that they're, you know, it takes some time getting to used to seeing through it.
Yeah.
Because of you have two obstructions in your way, technically. You know, you have both of those arms of the V in your path. And you're not, you know, but that comes with the aspect of not ever seeing anything like that. Like, my peak is five pins stacked one behind the other.
Yeah.
I'm used to seeing one row of pins. You know, you shoot your True Glow Micro Bright, which is five pins horizontally.
Right.
So that's what we're used to seeing. We're not used to seeing anything like this thing. What?
Horizontally.
Yeah, sideways, horizontally, you know, vertically, horizontally.
Mine are vertical.
No, you're not. Really, the pins come out of the bottom on your Micro Bright. No, they don't.
No, I'm just talking about that they're stacked.
I understand that. Your obstruction in yours comes horizontally because your pins are coming out of the side.
Oh, you're just talking about where they're,
yes,
they're coming
mounted,
out of.
Yes.
I was going to say, mine are not.
All center points on pins are vertical.
That's why you were confusing me. I thought you kind of lost your shit there for a second.
No, I'm not. You just.
I was like, did he really lose it?
No. But, I mean, for what it is, I mean, it's good. I mean, it works. You know, can the Vs be thinner? Yes. You know, another thing I would say that I would recommend that they would kind of do is, even when you were looking at the picture, how the V is flush with the front.
Okay.
It needs to be in the center.
Why would that make a difference?
You get a sunshade on both sides. So you get it. If it was like in the center, you would have shade on both sides of the V.
Okay.
So it would. In a way, it would keep that V dimmer and keep the target behind it brighter.
Oh, you just... Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know, that, like, that's one of the big things that they show for, like, outdoor 3D shooting. They have a lot of those sights with the scopes, and they have a dial they turn that causes a shade.
Right,
to either dull the pins or dull the backside so their magnifier doesn't blind them.
True.
So, you know, it's... Like, it's little odds and ends like that they could possibly change. I mean, for what it is, the first, I think this is either the first edition or the second edition of what it was after the initial, like, prototype.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it works. It does work. Can it be refined more, you know, more down the line? Absolutely. You know, everything can be.
Yeah, everything gets their tweaks and everything like that, and input and whatnot.
Right.
I think that's why they had a contest to give them out for free, just to get more feedback.
Oh, yeah.
That's always a good way to get feedback.
Right.
From a lot of people.
Like, is it a solid idea? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is it something that can be advanced even more? You know, like me, like I said, the biggest thing I think I see so far is, like you said, the Vs are a little thick.
Yeah.
That can be thinned out. And in my opinion, it needs to be more towards the center. Because, one, that might also give the guys who want to use a magnifier, they can screw a magnifier on the back. Plus, you get the shade effect from the front and rear.
Right.
So it keeps it, you know, with that vibrant-ass green, any sort of light that hit it made it insanely bright. So, you know, or make it adjustable where, okay, you know, you could use the same insert, but you have three positions to install it.
Yeah. The other bummer is that it can't, once you have it, if it's for your bow, you can't, like, some of the other sights that we get, and if you don't like one of them or I don't like one of them, you can swap them.
Right.
You can't do that with this.
We could just get you a faster bow.
No, I'm not going any. I'm sticking with my bow for a while. Because, I mean, it's nice to be able to say, hey, you want to try this one? Or, hey, I mean, technically you can buy other inserts, but then you have to go through the whole process. And
what whole process? It's not a big process.
No, and then ordering them and then waiting for them. Whereas I'm saying, like, if we go to the range and you just swap it out and...
Right. But that's the idea of this site being unique to a bow.
I know. I'm saying that's the only bummer, like, without...
Okay.
Never mind. Just forget it. Forget it. Moving on.
But I don't know. We can get the sights for you to test it on. We just have to get them the foot per second for your bow, and then go from there.
That's right. I kind of like my sight that I'm on right now. Tell you the truth.
Okay.
That's actually the one that I've stuck with.
I know that. You haven't changed anything. I'm the one that's been testing everything.
Yeah.
What else?
So what do you say overall? I mean, you like it?
I like it. Like, I mean, it's a good idea.
Stick with it. You're going to try it out some more.
No, I'm going to try it out again, which is, you know, for sure. I think once also the weather gets warmer, I'm going to probably take it out again to see if I can get it where 40 and 50 work. But yeah, I mean, it's a really, it works for what it says it's going to do. I mean, they claim that if you line up the two marks, you can train yourself to where the shoulder and the ribs are, and all the shots were in the same spot.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it works. It does exactly what it claims to do. You know, kind of eliminates the need for a range finder.
Right.
But I do think it does need some more, you know, just ideas thrown at them. I mean, some of the reviews and of what the guys are all saying, and same thing I say, you know, yeah, the V's are a little too thick.
Mm-hmm.
They can be thinned out. And the my idea about the shading thing, you know, or making it so that the insert can move. You know, maybe you're out on a real sunny day and you could put it in the center position of the sight housing.
Right.
And it's still the same insert. It's still in the same exact spot. You didn't turn it. You didn't adjust anything. Oh, yeah.
What'd you think about the adjustments? Because I saw you trying to adjust the actual, not the insert, the actual mount. I guess it's one, two pieces you can adjust?
Yeah. It's the sight window, so it can actually be turned up and down. See, but that's more of the R&D part. I mean, if this site goes farther and they get into mass production, that's when I think they can go into having like micro adjust setups for vertical and horizontal. Right now, it's really a basic design. It really is.
Oh, I know, but I know, like, because I know that when you tried adjusting it.
Oh, I went way too far. It's very, very sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the hash marks on the housing to move it up and down. I think it needs twice the amount of hash marks that it has.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is sensitive. Like, I moved it, you know, when we both were like, all right, yeah, it's shooting low. It's not shooting even to where the dots are. I made I moved it one hash mark, and right. I shot the top of the lung. I'm like, yeah, holy
shit. I know you moved it, and it was a huge, huge difference. It wasn't a small difference.
You don't realize, you're like, I'll just move it one hash mark. Well, one hash mark is way too much almost. So it needs more hash marks put in there
right. For
the vertical adjustment on it. But that's also something that maybe down the line they're going to change, you know, because like, when it came time to center it, to make sure the center shot was fine,
right.
I didn't like the fact that as you're trying to move, like, because I was shooting to the right. So I moved the sight in, you know, this way, you know, your arrow shooting right, you move the sight to the right. So as I move it, the sight turned. It's not, like, locked in a spot, but it's also, they can't lock it in a spot because the vertical adjustment is on, like, a swivel. Where just the whole, you know, the piece that's locked to your frame is locked solid, and you're actually turning the front portion of the housing on an angle, like rocking it back and forth
okay. To
adjust for your vertical adjustment. So they had to leave it where the actual sight window was able to go up and down.
Right.
And the round after I got the center shot right, it was way off because I wasn't paying attention. And I didn't re-straighten out the sight window. I just moved it to the right a little bit, but it had kicked itself down.
Oh, okay.
So I threw my shots way off, and then I looked at the bow side. I was like, oh, shit, it's crooked. And, you know, I loosened it, held it right where it was, straightened the sight window out, and all of a sudden I'm hitting the same exact spot I was hitting before.
Right.
Except in the center of the sheet. So it's little, like, R&D things they're going to be able to do to make it work. But for a first, like, setup style design for this thing, I mean, it's good. It works.
Now, it's funny because I'm on their website now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the thing is you have your normal range finders.
Right. Which that does work.
No more pins.
Right.
No more target panic. I don't know how much I believe that one.
That was fine.
But target panic usually is just because of you trying to pick a spot to aim.
Right.
Not really matching where the pin is to where you're aiming. It's actually just if you have like my target that I was using with the Vegas three face. Yeah, with the three vertical.
Right, three targets. Vertical circles, yes.
Isn't it more like that you don't know which one you want to aim at, so you kind of get lost? I mean, I don't know where that is going to fix target panic.
It gives you a broader area. You're not aiming just for, like, you know, not for nothing. If you really think about it, if you could see through the deer and, all right, I'm going to hit that 3 or 4 inch heart from 40 yards, you might start shaking. Now, this kind of sight eliminates all that shit. That arrow is going to hit in the heart, in the lungs. It's going to be the entire kill zone. So your target goes from being a 4 inch fist to being something's entire lung span.
Yeah.
So it kind of relaxes you in the process.
I feel like target panic, from my point of view, is still, it's if you have multiple spots that you're all trying to aim for. Like, it's usually what we've been doing with is, when you have the sheets with like five targets mm-hmm. on it or the three targets on it.
Right.
That's when it's been mostly kicking in. That's where I'm relating it to, target panic.
Well, there's all different types of target panic, though.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're doing several different faces, you're going to panic because I'm going to try and put one arrow in the center of this at one, mm-hmm. one arrow in the center of that one, and one arrow in the center of that one. You know, so it's, you know, Jesus, our son is so loud today.
That's all right.
You know, to me, that's more different. Plus, also having multiple faces, you're worried about hitting the bullseye. It becomes more of a competitive aspect.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I mean, it was. It's. I mean, if you look at the picture, I mean, we posted the picture up on Instagram, on Facebook, mm-hmm. on. I think I posted one of them on Twitter. I don't know. I'm not very good at Twitter, but you can see the entire view. I mean, if you look at the size of my arrow compared to the entire size of the thing. You know, and even when you know, you'll see if someone actually does go look at the picture on Facebook, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, where all of a sudden there's a bunch of holes real high, and that's when I made the adjustment to the site, where all of a sudden it was like, oh, God, that was one hash mark. Holy shit.
Right.
You know, and then I just said, screw it, and moved it back where it was before. But it really does. I mean, it really eliminates the need for you to worry about something. Worry about, all right, it's got to be exactly perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it almost realistically can make the kill shot almost like dummy proof, you know, because you have such a vast zone you're aiming at.
Well, not really dummy proof. I mean, come on. You've seen some of the people out there.
Yes, I know.
It's not like they require you to take a little IQ test before you buy things.
Yeah.
And here's another thing, because I know that we're all up for the buying on a budget and everything.
Right.
The price that they're starting this at, what do you think?
What was it?
$140.
It's really, realistically, it's not bad. You're not talking a massive company like Trophy Ridge. You're not talking about a massive company like, you know, True Glow. This is a small company releasing a product. You know, sure. Made here. It is made in the U.S.
Yeah,
that full is true. Machined.
Let's see, where are they?
I think it was Montana.
I can pull it up right now. I'm on their website. Let's see. They are in Belgrade, Montana.
Okay, so they are in Montana. But that's one of those things, too. Made in the USA, made and designed by people from here,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And if it's going to cut out a range finder. And it's all
metal. That's the other thing I'll give it to them. It's metal. Aluminum. Everything's metal.
Aluminum.
I don't care. It's not fake. It's not ABS plastic. Everything is full machined metal. The sight housing is metal. The Torx bolt that holds the sight housing to the arm for your horizontal, your windage adjustment,
mm-hmm.
is a high grade hardened steel. I believe it's an Allen head bolt. You know, everything on this thing is solid metal. The Allen keys that hold the front portion of the housing to the piece of the housing that bolts to your riser of your bow, machined metal. You know, the Allen bolts are metal. Everything on this thing is solid. I could probably say I can probably take my bow and drop it. Or throw it, for the matter of the fact.
Yeah, we're not going to test that on this.
No, I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm saying I probably could. My bow could take a fall and this thing will take the impact. Mm. And I don't even think it would move, to be honest. It would the vertical adjustment on it has two set screws in it holding it in place. So it's not just one.
That's good.
You know, granted, the wind adjustment is a clamping style one, but it's gripped 360 degrees around it with one solid Allen bolt holding it.
So I guess all in all, if you're going to eliminate a rangefinder, which they can get pricey.
Yes, they can. They go anywhere from $100
to $140 is not bad.
But this is also, I would say that this is also a site for someone who does panic about stuff. Like, if you're not into shooting targets like me and you want to get, thinking about getting into 3D stuff, you know, maybe some indoor, that's what I said, maybe. Yeah. You know, if we get into that type of stuff, we're going to have to work on the target panic shit.
Yeah, on my good days when I'm shooting.
There's days you go in there and you just throw frozen ropes and I'm like, fuck, I'm going to have to replace a ton of arrows or she's going to rip off
all the NAP sleeves. Then I think doing the 3Ds and everything else is a good idea.
Right.
But then on other days when I'm all over the place, I think it's a really bad idea. Yeah, but
it happens. It happens. Everyone's going to have a good day. Everyone's going to have a bad day. Now you have a set release you're going to use all the time. We're going to have to make sure, because you were using mine, we're going to have to make sure now maybe we have to move the thumb rotation on the edge forefinger. Maybe we're going to have to move it for you and adjust it to where mine was because you got used to that or you like the feel of it better.
I'm still jerking at it, though.
That's something you have to calm down and relax.
I know. Well, no, I am relaxed. I am relaxed. Don't tell me I'm not relaxed.
Slower. See? Yeah. No, you have to go slower.
No, honestly.
You do. You get to your anchor point all nice and nice and nice, and all of a sudden your thumb just goes from being on the side of your index finger to blow, just fucking doing a 360 degree turn and smashing the trigger.
I know. Well, when you describe it like that, it sounds worse than it really is. But honestly, in my own head, I mean, I get to the point where it's like, okay, I know, like, I'm where I'm at.
Right.
And I'm calm and I clear my head. And I'm even telling myself, like I was doing this weekend, to just
go. You were also shooting with a fucking muscle in your back that was spasming, and it had been the whole weekend.
I'm not even talking about that, though, but I'm saying...
I know.
No,
you're
I'm
saying
just,
you had something already going against you.
I understand,
you. Like,
but
I
what
shoot.
My point is that even making it a point to remember that not to put my... to just try and yank the
trigger.
Yeah, is it still feels like, okay, I am going slower, but I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's
you
it's
need to learn to just
more difficult.
Once you get to your anchor point, you need to just learn to move your thumb to where your thumb touches the trigger.
That's probably why. I'm probably too worried that if my thumb is resting on there, if I give
it's
it too
go
much.
Off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's safety.
Right.
Know?
No, 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 no.
I'd rather not.
You're also not used to using a thumb trigger. You've only done it twice. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. The next time, what's what we have to work on? Okay, you're going to get into your ready spot. Boom, you pull back. You're at your anchor point. And then you're going to have to tell yourself, okay, move my thumb until I touch the trigger. Okay, I'm on the trigger. Stop.
Yeah, I think that's
take a good breath. Then just, you do it with a gun. I mean, Jesus Christ, if we ever showed anybody with a video of you shooting an AR-15 from a prone position with a bipod on it, you blasting holes in a bullseye at 100 freaking yards with no problem because you know how to squeeze a trigger on a gun.
That's different, though.
No, it's not. It's
yes,
squeezing
it
a trigger. That's all it is. It's squeezing, not yanking.
No, one's for thumb and one's a finger.
Oh, God. It's still the same concept. Don't even. God, I wish I should take a photo of you making that face. You know, but it is. I mean, it's the same concept. It's squeeze, not yank. Or not pull.
I don't know. I think the thumb is a little bit more forceful in comparison to your other fingers. If you took your thumb, Mr. First Finger, you compared them into their savagery.
Savagery? Nice.
Yeah. I think the thumb could be rated higher on the savagery
spectrum.
Well,
your thumb is supposed to be like your thumb is one of your main grip portions of your hand. So you're going to have a powerful thumb.
And it's also more midget size, so it has that, like,
should have more control. It's shorter.
No. It's like Napoleon syndrome for your thumb.
No, that's you that has Napoleon syndrome. It's not just your thumb. It's you.
No, I'm average.
Oh, you're at the bottom of average, honey.
I'm still an average.
But, no, I mean, we do. I mean, both of us have things to work on. Like me, for some reason, I felt like I when I'd get the breaking point on my bow, I don't know why. At point, I just kept wanting to pull and wanting to pull, wanting to pull. You know, I'm like, fuck. All I can think of myself is, if I keep pulling, I'm going to break this D-loop right off this bow. Yeah, for some reason, I just stopped, you know, completely just brain farted about, okay, it's past the breaking point. Up, there's the back wall, set, get the trigger ready.
Right, right.
For some reason, I just kept pulling like I was using a back tension release. Yes, I don't own one yet. You know, I think I want one so bad, I completely forgot I wasn't using one. But I mean, there's always stuff to work on.
Yeah.
You know,
if there was anything to work on, then we should be competing and winning all the time.
I think I just want to do this stuff just to get out and do something different also. You know, I think that's one of the reasons I want to go to the 3D things. You know, there's going to be a lot of other people there. A lot of, you know.
Yeah, that's going to be another one of my problems.
Why is that?
I don't like shooting around a lot of people. Like, I don't, it.
Yeah, with the 3D events, you shoot one at a time.
No. Yeah, that's also another problem. Everyone's going to be standing around watching you. Like, okay, it's like getting up to golf. It's like, shh. And then, you know, everyone's really compared kinda
archery to golf.
No, no, no. The fact that everyone's staring at just you.
Okay.
That's where I get more nervous than the target. I think you get people panic, not target panic.
Okay.
Person panic.
Yeah, person
social,
panic? Yeah.
Social panic.
Anti-social panic?
Yeah. Animals is one thing, but other people, other humans, full-grown humans.
No, I think sometimes you also panic around other humans because you look at them like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
I don't know. No, I don't like when a lot of people are in the range. I start getting nervous. Maybe it's because, I mean, some of the people shouldn't have any kind of form of item that can... Anything that could be considered a weapon, I guess I should say.
Hey, whatever, to each his own.
But, I don't know, I just don't... It's not that I'm antisocial, it's just too many people start getting... It's a indoor range, so you only have X amount of space. Well, it's limited
room, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
the outdoor thing may be completely different.
And when you get, you know, tons of people in there, and, you know, if they got their friends, which is fine. But, you know, you get three lanes, and if you get... family in there, and or that creepy guy in there. It was a little interesting. The one that was in there with us.
Oh, the guy with the diamond bow? Mm. Yeah, yeah. That he wasn't turning his arrows, and he was basically ripping his arrows apart, shooting through that pass-through that rest.
Not our problem.
No, no, this time I actually butted out. But, I mean, it's probably just something, I mean, yeah, we already know you don't like shooting around a lot of people, no. So... But, I mean, I think if we get out and be around others and people that do the type of stuff that we do, and it would probably be good in a way. This way, maybe it'll get you over some of these issues or whatever. Apparently, my son is up to no good.
It's your turn.
What do you do?
Well, you can wait until we're done. He's butt naked.
Really?
We have a son, so of course he enjoys being naked.
This is his protest.
Yeah.
He gets naked.
Whenever he doesn't want to go to sleep, he just keeps getting naked.
All right, so what else? And then the other guy that we met at the site at the range, who was actually, like I said earlier, was doing indoor competitions,
mm-hmm.
both regionally and nationally, which is really cool. Very, very friendly guy.
He had that new Hoyt, right?
Yes, he had a 2017 Hoyt Prevail.
Jesus, that thing
with
was nice.
I believe it was a 30-inch Shrewd stabilizer on the front, and I believe it was either an 8 or a 10-inch sidebar Shrewd with a drop-away blade rest, and I didn't get what sight he was using.
It's a setup we can't afford.
But it was sexy as hell. I mean, magnifier, shade, scope. I mean, it was ridiculous. And, of course, using those gigantic indoor super pencil arrows.
Yeah, they looked like those little pencils you got when you were younger from, like,
real fat ones.
The dollar store, yeah. Where the eraser doesn't work because it's really just plastic.
Yeah, exactly. But very friendly guy, you know, talking to him about his bow. And he's like, yeah, you know, Hoyt was on top of their shit this year. And I ordered it in November and I got it 3 weeks later. It's like I was expecting to wait 2.5 to 3 months and keep using my old Prevail. Nice. I mean, it was a very, very nice Prevail, very set up, very well.
But he does national competition, so he has the money to put into it.
Well, that's got to start somewhere. I mean,
yeah, but no.
His was nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice.
It was,
you know,
nice.
Same type of setup that Dudley uses, really. Well, different manufactured parts, but Dudley's got the scope and all that.
Dudley's
and
also been around the block with competing and everything.
My he point also is deserves they didn't such a start nice... with that shit.
Yeah, I know. I know. But still, it's nice.
It's nice, yes, absolutely. Nice. You know.
Maybe we could take a tally on how many times you say nice.
It was.
Nice.
Very nice.
Nice. It was nice on ice.
But very friendly guy. I mean, you know. Trying to think, what else were we talking about? I mean, because he asked me if I was going to go to any other bows, and I told him, yeah, you know, I'm at this. There's several that I like. You know, mm-hmm. I obviously would like to try out one of the Hoyt Pro Defiant 34s. The new Bear LS6 looks absolutely nasty as hell. What was the other one? Oh, the PSE Full Throttle.
See, that was your conversation. I was kind
right
of that, in that one.
Well, he's like, all right, you know, all those bows are primarily for hunting. You know, and I'm like, yeah, no, I know they're really for hunting. He's like, what about, you know, like the target side? Never done the target side. I mean, I've never contemplated it, you know. And he's like, oh, you know, it's nice. You know, there's always the friendly camaraderie. And, you know, he's like, there's obviously prizes involved. And when you get to regional aspects and, you know, you could join the state thing, travel around the state. And he's like, you know, after you get a couple of the things done, I mean, he's like, you know, you qualify for stuff and then people just start, you know, you move up the line real pretty quickly. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, I hear prizes I'm in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, and then he asked me, obviously, which ones would I go after then if I was thinking about doing target style. And, I mean, not for nothing, the Hoyt Prevail is a sexy bow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to, I mean, right off the bat, don't remember the name of the PSE bow. I think it's like the Phenom.
Right.
Or something like that. Both Hoyt and PSE both have a bow that looks kind of similar. It's the shoot-through riser style bow, and they're both, I mean, absolutely beautiful bows. I mean, this dude had, like, nothing on this bow, like, silencer-wise. He had two little itty-bitty limb savers on the limbs.
Mm-hmm.
No jacks on the strings, nothing. And I could barely hear him fire it.
Yeah, he was really quiet.
You know? And he was just throwing frozen. Oh, you know, I'm practicing, you know, or the indoor, everything's 18 meters, which is, you know, pretty much 20 yards. So,
yeah, I know. I'm giving you the
yeah,
sign.
We got to go get my son.
Yeah, we got to kind of cut it short.
Yeah.
Because
yep.
It's our son's
nudity time.
Yeah. We got a nudist in the house.
But, all right. So, in all, I would say yes. If you're interested in the EZV site,
for the money,
it's worth it for the money. I mean, it works as it's described. Make sure you know your feet per second. And they do give you one faster, one slower. This way you can play with it yourself. Jesus Christ. Anyway, that statement went wrong. But, you know, like I said, there are things I'd love to see them add on to it. Maybe some micro adjustments for the windage especially.
And don't take what I say such to heart, because you have to have good
Stephanie
cop, bad
nitpicks.
Cop. You have to have good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, no, you do. Yes, yeah, no, you do. Well, you also made me think about the shading aspect that it needs to
you
have.
You can't always be like, oh, everything is wonderful with unicorns
right.
and sunshine.
But
and
like rainbows. For this and rendition of the site for, you know, let's get our name out there, it's worth the money. And
the
if you're one of those people that's, you know, USA pride, let's buy shit that
yeah.
is made here, it's all made here.
Honestly, yeah. So. For the money that they're charging, for what you're getting and what it's supposed to replace, it's worth it to just get used to the other things
right.
that you just have to adjust to.
Really, yeah, there's two negatives for it. The V's too thick, and it needs some shading aspect.
It needs some shade.
Yeah. So, otherwise, everything else about it's positive.
Just don't call it names. That's not the right shade.
That's not the right shade. And then also, yeah, we're contemplating getting into some other competitions here, 3D. Maybe eventually I'll get into some target shooting. We'll see how it goes.
We'll find out.
Until next time, I'm Anthony.
Stephanie.
Y'all get out and go shooting. Have some fun. I'm going to go take care of my naked son now.